Your Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We always come before you in Jesus' name because he's the only access to you that we have. And we can come knowing that you care and you're concerned for us. And even this week, as the news came for Randy and Teresa, we know that you care. And we just give you great praise for that this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into this class today. Lord, we're dependent upon your Holy Spirit to lead us and to give us words that you would want us to hear, all of us to hear, including myself, and that you would be glorified in that and honored by that, and that we might leave here today knowing that you've been with us and that we've been in your presence and you've been honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me start out with a quick review. I like to do that on lessons where we have a four-week session. And so quick review, one-word sentences or one-sentence reviews. The first week we studied and that work is a divine and moral virtue. God was the first to work, and he expected us to work. So we shouldn't look at work as something that it's a curse, although it has been cursed because of Adam's sin. So that was kind of week one. Week two, we learned from the lives of Joseph and Daniel how critical the characteristics in work are, the characteristics of integrity and humility. And also that the hand of God was upon them, the Spirit of God was upon them all, both as they went through the trials of their lives. This week, you know, if you've ever been challenged with putting a four-week thing together, you wonder what's the next thing coming. And be honest with you, I struggled with that all week long, trying to figure out exactly what we were going to talk about. But this is where I landed, and hopefully it's where the Holy Spirit will lead us through today. So I'm going to start by reading in Galatians 5:16. Through 25. And I understand this class is about Christians in the workplace. But let me read this. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." I thought this morning, as we talk about this, and I thought, well, what am I going to kind of title this lesson? And so I came up with this: let's get real. And I say that, and hopefully you'll understand why I'm saying that by the time I get through this lesson, or maybe next week you won't come back. You know, I don't know. But nevertheless, I think it's time that we take a look at, as Christians in the workplace, after reading what we're expected to do in the fruit of the Spirit and live by the fruit of the Spirit, whether it's the workplace or whether it's at home, how do we do that? How do we, on a Monday morning after we've been stimulated or encouraged on a Sunday to be what God wants us to be? We're all encouraged by that. We get the word, we know what we should be doing, we walk out of here, and then come Monday morning, you get up and you head into the workplace. How do you do that? Every day, representing Christ in the workplace. Especially when you may have health problems, you may have family problems at home, you may have children issues, you may have all kinds of different issues, yet you're supposed to go into work and react as a spirit-filled Christian. And we're all different, okay? We're all different. God made us all different. And so a lot of times, you know, we have an attitude when we go into work in the morning or whatever time it is, and it's not always the best attitude. So I thought I'd talk a little bit to start with attitude. And then I'm going to go through a couple of personal examples that help me to understand this better. But I looked up attitude in the dictionary, and these are this is what it said: a mental position with regard to fact or state, a feeling or emotion toward fact or state, a negative or positive state of mind. Now, as I said, we're all different. Some of us, our glass is half full. Some of us, our glass is half empty. I happen to be one where my glass is half empty. I have that type of personality, and that's been a struggle for me along the way. And where I noticed this more than anything else one time, it was not too many years ago, I was home on a Thursday night, and I was grumping around the house. Now, nobody else ever does that, I'm sure. But I was grumping around the house and just with a lousy attitude. And my wife, being the encourager that she is, made the comment, you know what? If you don't get your attitude straightened out, you and all your people that work for you tomorrow are going to have a real bad day. And, of course, I accepted that really. Well, you know, I said, oh, yeah, you're right, you're dead right. You know, in my attitude that I was at, I knew she was right. No, I didn't. I went even sulking off more. What do you know kind of thing. But over the night, I thought about it. Now, it's Friday morning. I go into the plant, and I have a staff of 9 people, and they're all there. And we have a staff meeting at 9 o'clock. And I thought, how am I going to address this day with my attitude? So I sit down, and we started the meeting up. And as I started the meeting, I said, look, I said, I don't want to say one negative thing in this meeting. And I want you all to hold me accountable for that. Not one negative thing. And, you know, being the high spender that I am, I put a can out in the middle, and I said, for every one that you catch me on, I'll throw in a nickel. Big spender. And so they're all there, and they say, okay, that's great. And I didn't say anything about them being involved. I just said, I don't want to say anything negative. And they said, well, why don't you make it a quarter? And they were going to take part in the same thing. So we start this meeting up. We decided a quarter a time. We start this meeting up. And I started it. And then we went to the next person, as we usually did. And you could see the stress and strain on everybody's face as they tried not to say something negative. So we get around about 6 or 7 people. And our sales manager is a guy that's got kind of somewhat of a sense of humor. He finally stands up and he goes, look what, I'm going to put a dollar in right now, and I'm going to buy 4 of them right up front. And to this day, all those people remember talking about that from a negative standpoint, because we're such in a negative world. And even with a positive mentality, we can get into a negative attitude. So when we're in that situation, how do we address those things? How do we, as a Christian, one that's called by God, one that is justified by God, one that is born again by the Spirit, walk into work every day with an attitude that glorifies Him? So, thinking about that, and thinking about the challenges that we have with that, looking at God's Word, let me throw out this question. How do you do that? That's what we're called to do. And not only at work, but at home also, or whatever we might be doing. What is God doing in our lives? What's He doing in our lives? Once we've been born again, what's He doing?
Sanctifying us.
That's right. So, you know, we get into these circumstances, and when I talk about attitude and going to work, He's put us in those jobs. Let me rephrase that. He's allowed us to be in those jobs because of our decisions, because maybe of what we went into or whatever, but He's allowed us to be in those jobs, knowing that we would be there. And as we go out in and how we're supposed to act as Christians, He's using our jobs to help sanctify us and to help us to grow in faith along the way. And so many times as Christians, we put on this facade, at least this is my opinion, what I think is what we put on a facade. We wear masks right now to protect our physical health. But every day, or not every day, but many times as Christians, we put on a mask that protects us spiritually. Like we're all right. So my point in all this is just being real about the fact that it's not like that every day when we go out. Maybe I'm admitting something that I need help with, and maybe I need your help with.
One of the things, I work in the office space, so I can do this in my space. I mean, some of you are in clinics and you're walking around and you're doing that space, but I have the office space. One of the things I have put on a 4x6 card is James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And many times when my attitude gets frustrated and stinking to the Lord, that is like right above my computer. And God reminds me that I am to be a life that's pure. And I am to be peaceful, not grumpy and angry with people, not wanting my own way. Somebody that somebody can come to and ask questions about what's going on or whatever. Mercy to those people that irritate me. And so God has given me that ability to put that up above my computer so that when my attitude is bad, He's reminding me. Proverbs tells us that we're not to to despise the chasing of God. And if God is moving me like a steering wheel, not like this, but like this, to change my attitude. And that helps tremendously. Not perfect, but it helps tremendously.
Yeah, I think that a couple things you said there, you know, God's helping me, you know, reminding me of his word, what he says, but we're not perfect either. And sometimes I think we get discouraged because we think we should be perfect. And while we'd like to be, we're just human beings. And God is working through us to maturity in him. And I recently got this book. It's called Maturity. It's written by Sinclair Ferguson. One of the things Kathy and I were talking about this morning that I regret more than anything else is when I look back and I stand up here in front of you all teaching that this is the way it should be, it wasn't always that way for me. In fact, more times than not, it was not that way for me. And I used to go in there and I'm thinking, why can't I be like that? Why can't I do those things? What's wrong with me? You know, because I was trying to be perfect in a lot of ways, recognizing that I couldn't. And that's the reason I read the passage this morning, that we have to be filled with the Spirit of God to do anything. You know, we can kid ourselves all day long that we've got it together. We can do that. But we have, like I said, family issues. We have health issues. We have our personality issues. You know, I said I'm a person with a glass half empty. One with versus a person with, I'd like to be like that with, it's half full. And by the way, neither one of those are better. Because in most instances, the glass that's half full is the person, I can do anything. I can do this. I can do that. I. And it focuses on self. And on the other hand, the person that says it's half empty is about, woe is me. I just can't do it. I. So we're both people are in the same, both personalities are in the same boat. We take our focus off of Christ and our attitude, going back to your point, you have to be reminded. So how do we do that? Monday morning, Tuesday morning, get up every day. What do we got to go in for? This is where I need help.
There has to be a contrary intention to the title of the lesson today, Let's Get Real. And it's a good reminder, because the reality is we don't have it on Monday morning. We don't have it together. We think we do, but we don't. And the reality is that, you know, that's the understanding, you know, the strength of God's word. The fact is God gives us his word to read, and that word is strong. And then the time for prayer in the morning, the devotions that we have. Not going through the motions of, hey, I have to go through devotions because this is what I do. It's going through devotions because I don't have it together, and I gotta have it. I gotta have this time so I can approach the day with the right perspective. That makes sense?
No, it does exactly make sense. I want to go back and I want to read from Job something, because it goes back to what last week's lesson. about integrity and about humility. And I want to remind ourselves a little bit. This is what God says to Job, or actually says to Satan about Job. This is in chapter 2. And this is after Job has lost his family. He's lost his possessions. He's lost just about everything physically besides his health that you can be taken away from him. This is what God says about him after Satan. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" He still, after all he's been through, holds fast his integrity. Even though Satan incited him against Job to destroy him without reason. God is working in our lives in the same way, through our work and through the opportunities that he has to give us work. Can he say the same thing about us, about our integrity and understanding that if we're born again in him through the Spirit, he told Job that you can do anything to him but take his life. And do we recognize as we go out into the workplace that God can put us in any circumstances or allow us to be put into any circumstances if he's using that to sanctify our lives and to make us like Christ? Do we recognize that they can do, he can, anything can be done to us, but he can't take our spiritual life away from us, because that we have in Christ.
I think the one passage that relates to this that I thought of multiple times, you know, when you relate to like your attitude and things like that, is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, where Jesus says before that, says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." You could apply this to prayer as well, but I think it also applies to our attitude, because it says there, you know, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And I think, obviously, there's a clear application of prayer, but I want to also think about it. I think about it, too, as well as our attitude that, you know, would God give us, you know, and you just mentioned it with Job as well, is God going to give us something that's not our best? And when we see something that we're not happy about, then we're basically just saying, we're almost accusing this with God. I've had to think of this multiple times with this whole COVID situation. And, you know, it all ultimately comes down to, I know this isn't work per se, but, you know, God, basically, if I'm complaining about it, I'm saying, God, you made a mistake in allowing this pandemic to get upon us, that you made a mistake doing that. And the Bible says that, and sometimes it's hard to reconcile, like when God doesn't answer prayer and things like that, but it says that, you know, we as evil, you know, I as an evil, sinful father know to give good things to my kids. God exponentially more than that knows to do that with me. So I really trust that.
Exactly. I think that's the challenge, that we say we believe, but do we really get it? Do we really believe at times? Long way. And as we talk about Job, he went through all that he went through and all his wonderful friends talking to him and about this and that and everything else. But in the end, you know, God talks to him and basically says, "Where were you? Or who are you when I did this? Where were you?" And he went through that whole stanza. And Job, here he is, the most righteous man. He's living well. He's being taken care of well. You know, at least materially and what we can see. And what does he say in the end? I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You think that's humility? And coming to the recognition that as Christians, God is in control for one purpose, to sanctify us and to make us like Christ. So when you go to work and you're trying to do the things that God says that we need to do, and you're looking for that fruit of the Spirit within us, how's he given that to us? Through the Holy Spirit. We can take our personalities and say, well, I can do this and I can do that or whatever, but we can't do anything that God doesn't get glory for if we're trying to live a life for him. So we get up, we go to work, we walk in, we talk to people. Our attitude shows one way or the other where we're at. How do we look to change that? Tim mentioned reading, praying. Penny mentioned being reminded. But how do we get to doing that? And recognizing that as much as I mentioned in Galatians is written about the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that were said about people that, let me read it over. I want to read it over because I think this is important. Think about your work. And think about what you go out into. Now, if you're a housewife, I guess this might not be the case. But for us people that are going out into the workplace, whether it be factories, whether we own our own business, whether we are managers, whether we're people that work as janitors or whatever, whatever the job is. By the way, it says in Ephesians that God's no respecter of whatever position you have, by the way. But speaking about your work, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, is that out in your workplace? Maybe if you're in a Christian perspective, maybe that's not the issue. But for us that are out there on a day-to-day basis, is sexual immorality out there? Impurity? Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. I'm sure you've never seen that out in the workplace. Anybody getting angry? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Hopefully not drunkenness, at least on the job. But you hear about all the parties that everybody goes to, right? How they went out and had a good time and things like these that I warn you, as I warned you before. And I say all that because we as Christians in the workplace, or really in the world, are to be lights that shine brightly to those around us. In the same way that we as Christians put on fronts at times, the people out in the workplace are doing the same thing. You don't see everything that's going on in people's lives. But we need to care about those things because we have the only hope for their lives, just like he's the only hope for ours. Again, relating to a story, I walked in our corporate office one day and I walked by this lady every day, and she was one of the, assistants. And we'd say every morning, "Good morning, how are you doing?" "I'm fine." She'd say, "I'm fine." And we'd keep going. So one day, as I said, I thought, well, I'll walk in there. I've been charged up. I've been reading something and trying to encourage by the word. And I walked in there and I walked by her and she, same thing. "How you doing?" "I'm fine." And I said, "I'm fine." And I walked 3 steps and turned around and looked at her. And I said, "You know what? I really mean it." And she didn't know what to say, because that's what we do. We put on these false pretenses. And that's what I'm saying about getting real. You know, this is not an easy life. Christianity is not an easy life if we're truly born again. It's difficult. Read Romans 7. What Paul says about it. Here's Paul. "I can't do the things I want to do. I do the things I don't want to do." Why is that? That's, yeah. We're in a battle. We're in a war. So, you know, we've all been put in positions, whether it's the workplace or whether it's home, to be challenged about our attitude as Christians. I mean, you've seen them. I've seen them in work, and I'm sure you have, people that go around and professing, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian," and their attitude at work, or even their work ethic, is horrible. It doesn't line up. So you have to look at people from the standpoint and try to understand where they're really at. And I used to do a thing on leadership, and believe it or not, I was asked to do this one time at a safety conference. But we were talking about leadership, and what is leadership? And the more I've thought about it, is it's not just leadership. It's what we should be as Christians in the workplace. And I had 4 things that I talked about. Number one was the fact that we had to have integrity. When things didn't go our way, whatever, we still needed to have integrity. Number two was the fact we need to do it. Anything we did as excellent as we possibly could. We weren't to be just carefree, it'll do, get by. We were to do it as excellent as we possibly could. Number three was the fact that we needed to be a servant. And using Christ as an example, and of course, his taking care of the disciples and washing their feet. But Christ was someone that loved his people. People he worked with, people he was with every day. And obviously it was more than that. But still he demonstrated what servant leadership was all about. And then the last thing, and this is where I think it gives us an opportunity as Christians to really have an opportunity to be encouraging to others. Is show somebody you care. If you ever talk to somebody and they're saying they're really interested in what you're saying and they're looking all around or whatever, we need to listen. Because sometimes when somebody says they're fine, if you're really listening, you know they're not. And it gives you an opportunity as a Christian to come alongside of somebody with no hope and say, how can I help you? And that doesn't necessarily mean bringing out the Bible right away and starting to throw verses at them. It means putting your arm around them and really caring about people. With those you work with, maybe it's students, maybe it's other people that you work with, maybe it's somebody, maybe it's your boss, which I hate that word, by the way, but that's what we call people. Your supervisor, I guess. But we can read and see if we understand that they are in the same situation that we were prior to being born again. I wish that I'd have been able to, over the years, be better at understanding people and grasping onto people. But we have that opportunity. And as God sanctifies us, like I said, maybe we don't like something that's going on. Maybe he's teaching us patience through that. Maybe we've been overlooked for a promotion. He's teaching us that, hey, I'm in control. I know what's best for you. And how you react to that and your attitude reflects a lot about what you believe as a Christian. Maybe you've been wronged in some way. Maybe somebody said something bad about you that's not true. But that doesn't mean that we stop our efforts with the power of his Spirit to be different and to react different. Any comments at this point? How do we be a Christian every day? What do we know about being a Christian? When we look in the mirror, what do we know and what do we see about being a Christian? Number one is we believe in Christ. Christ is the vine. I mentioned to Tim already this morning, a class he taught not too long ago, abiding in Christ. We have to abide in Christ, for he is our life, life, bloodstream as such. We are branches. We're grafted in. What should we show if we're grafted in and true branches? Fruit. What fruit?
The same fruit as the tree that we're grafted into.
Right. He's pruning us. He gives us jobs and puts us in jobs or allows us to be in jobs, not only to take care of our family and maybe to buy food and to do the things we need to do, but he's molding us also. He's sanctifying us. Is that a one-day process? We've been crucified with him, yet nevertheless we live. We're being conformed to his image. Romans. He's given us power over sin. Romans 6. In him, we are more than conquerors. He has given us the Holy Spirit to help convict and teach us. And you'll understand from my perspective that I think one of the things that we as a church have forgotten in the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Because we think we go into the Word of God and that we in our brains or in our own minds are taught things by the Word of God. And even in that, it's his spirit teaching us. That's the reason he was given. I mean, Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Why? Why did he say that? Because he knew we weren't going to be able to do it on our own. So he said, it's better. So he's given us the Spirit. When we're born again, a new life comes into us by the Spirit. So as Christians in the workplace, we're different. You know, the workplace is there, but doesn't mean we act different than we do any other time. We may have different responsibilities at home when we're raising children or speaking to our spouses or whatever, but doesn't mean we're any different. So Kathy tells me, you better get your attitude straightened up before you go to work. What was wrong with her saying, you better get your attitude straightened up now? Because me and the kids are going to have a bad night. We separate and we segregate our lives by work and what we do. We have families. We have friends. And we're separated because we, over here we act this way. Over here we act this way. But when I read in about his Spirit and the fruit of his Spirit, it doesn't say, hey, you know, you need to demonstrate these at home. Or you need to demonstrate these at work. But don't worry about them otherwise. Now, as Christians, we're all growing. And we're all at different levels of sanctification. Some more mature than others. Some still babies. Some somewhere in between. But we need to recognize within the church, as true believers, we need each other. Pastor mentioned that this morning. We need to encourage each other and help each other along the way. And he's given us his Spirit to be able to do that. We have his Word. We have access to the Father by prayer. He's given us brothers and sisters to come to help us encourage. James is a favorite verse of mine, and one of the things I think is missing within the church. It says, confess your sins. In some things it says faults, but this Bible says your sins one to another, that you may be healed. That goes back to what I was saying this morning about us putting on masks when we come to church. I'm not saying you spill every bit of your life to somebody, but having somebody to hold you accountable, to help you when you're struggling at work, with life, with family, or with whatever. And I think that's one of the things, because we're good. We're, as I said earlier, that we're good at putting on masks. It's kind of interesting now when we see everybody in masks. But we do that. We do that. At least I think we do. I know I did. Now, as much as I look back on my life and say, you know, I wish I'd have done different. I didn't. But what does Paul say? He presses on. This is Paul saying that. So when we make mistakes at work, when we do something that we shouldn't do, we can go to him. To the Father. 1 John 1:9. Confess our sins. It's for he's faithful and just to forgive us. We have got so much as Christians to take out into this world. So much. And recognizing that the power that we need to do that has been given to us. So the glass half empty guy that says, I can't do anything. You know, this is going to really be bad. Been there, done this. I say that because I know. Feeling sorry for myself. Recognizing that it's about me. And coming to that realization that it's not about me. It's about Christ. And through Christ, it's about others. The glass half full. I can do anything. Coming to the realization that when I look in the mirror, I'm not as good as I think I am. God tells us that. And like Job, what Job says at the end, we need to repent. I guess if you want to do that in dust and ashes, do that. But what we need is true repentance and true understanding that God is sovereign over our lives if we've been born again. The jobs he gives us are purposeful for two reasons. Number one, to share the gospel and to teach us about ourselves and to help us learn our faults, the challenges that we have, and how we can help others, whether Christian brothers or non-Christian. We have the answer. And we can come alongside people. And we can put our arm around them. And we can determine that we're going to be somebody that cares enough about not just saying that I care. And my experience has been if people know there's a difference between saying I care and people knowing that you care. And we're challenged with that. But as I said, we have all the necessary power through the work of Christ to be able to be all God wants us to be in the workplace. Which points out one thing, that this life is really not about us. It really is all about Jesus and the glory of a God who has put us here on this earth for such a time as this. Whether that be in our workplace, whether that be in our home, whether that be with our neighbors, whether that be with our friends, whether that be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God has a purpose for his glory. Tim mentioned that in the prayer this morning. It's about God's glory. So we need to be able to encourage each other in attitude. We need to be able to grow as Christians together. We need not to look down on other people. We need not to look down on each other. We need to be able to be honest with each other. We need to live in integrity with some humility, with lots of humility, by the way, and understanding that the hand of God is upon us and his Holy Spirit giving us power to do that each and every moment if we're just reminded and we take time to think that through. So that's my lesson. I said we were going to get done. It's a minute after. I apologize for that. Any questions or comments? Anybody that wants to stand up and say anything? Well, I appreciate your attention and I told Kathy this morning, I'm getting a little bit more calm doing this. I pace around the house in the morning for a long time before we come doing this, and that doesn't mean anything. Hey, it's just, it's who I am, you know, Mr. Half Empty, you know. So go ahead,
Your
Mike.
Illustration about that glass half full or half empty reminded me of what I heard somebody once said. It doesn't matter whether you see it half full or half empty, if you just remember that you can refill the glass, and God will refill the glass, and we lay it on Him. We can, both people are in the same boat.
That's right.
Looking at themselves, so to speak.
I mean, it's exactly true. I mean, we think, you know, and we've even been told in business that, you know, well, this is better than this, or this is, you should be like this. We can't all be like each other. You know, if we're all like each other, we got big problems. And, or at least if you're all like me. And so we need to recognize that. And so God handles us each differently. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So He knows exactly what we need to conform us to the image of His Son, to sanctify us, which is the will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the time that You've given us. Thank You for Your grace and mercy that allows us even to stand up here and to take Your word and try to use it in a way that's helpful to my brothers and sisters. Recognizing, dear Lord, that we all don't have it together, that we each and every day need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, help me. Because I need Your help to get through this day and to take it one day at a time instead of looking 3 weeks down the road or whatever and saying, what am I going to be doing then? Just to take one day at a time and say, Lord, help me through this day. Help me in my unbelief. Help me with truth. Help me not to be deceived. Lord, I'm so dependent upon You. Help us all to understand that it is about You and Your glory and Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and give glory. Amen.